Welcome to one more episode, Micro Podcast, Digital Transformation Industry 4.0 and Emerging Technologies. I am Vijay Gunti and I'm your host today. Today with us is Ashok Bodeda. Ashok is a digital transformation leader, Microsoft specialist, cloud, AI, and also into data analytics. He is a result-oriented dynamics and technology-focused leader, over 16 plus years of experience on Microsoft technologies with strong fundamentals of length and breadth of the technology from operating system kernel to artificial intelligence. Welcome, Ashok, to our Micro Podcast show. Can you also please introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. Thank you, Vijay. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. And sure, I'll give you a quick brief about myself. So I've been working in this industry for past 16 plus years, and specifically into Microsoft technology. I've been started my journey right from technology evolution before the web. So desktop applications or VB kind of applications to till today all artificial intelligence enabled applications. So with respect to my experience, it's been a kind of evolution from desktop technologies to mobile technologies, web technologies, and latest running technologies like artificial intelligence and IoT. I've been working with Microsoft for almost 3 years, specifically in IoT and machine learning projects. And we have implemented more than 6 projects with respect to on the same subjects.
Good to know, Ashok. Again, once again, welcome to our show. And our audience will love to hear more and more information and experiences from you going forward. So my next question is, I see that, right, you have been working extensively in the Microsoft technologies and also into the Internet of Things, machine learning and artificial intelligence, so and so forth. And again, the buzzword is digital transformation. I know that you have been a leader into this space also. Can you throw some challenges to our audience so that they can listen and hear from you in the implementations of the digital transformation industry 4.0?
Sure, definitely. Let me get to challenges first. So the biggest challenge in any kind of digital transformation is reluctance of change. Resistance. People are happy with whatever they're doing. They are really not ready to do the change. We have enormous case studies and enormous examples that how people are not moving to out of their comfort zone. Simple examples. We know the Blockbuster franchise, which used to deliver the series to the end customers to deliver the movies. And then they never tried to become online. And Netflix was doing at that point of time, this was like 15 years ago. And they never thought that never Netflix going to be any kind of market competitor or leader. So they rejected their acquisition offer. And later today we knew that how Netflix is converted completely the entire movie industry. Each and every movie, entire broadcasting media, which is in television, is converted into television, and films are converted into Netflix. It is one of the most successful digital transformation journey in terms of how digital transformation affected the human life. We used to go to movies, we used to go to theaters and all, and the entire thing has been changed. Now, if you look into the real scenario, how these guys are doing well, like Netflix, it doesn't matter the number of users you they join into the system, it never get into any kind of issues or not, because of technology has been strong. So when we look in 10 years ago, when we try to stream any kind of movies or any kind of even YouTube, if many people are jumping onto the same live system or some cricket or something like that, and the streaming used to get slow and there will be a lot of buffering and all these hiccups and problems. And these Netflix guys come with a lot of new technologies. They enable the containerization, they enable the event hubs, and they have done a lot of technological transformation in their business. So this digital has play lot of critical role in the entire system. So definitely we'll see a lot of other success areas as well. And as I mentioned that, reluctance of change. Similarly, if you see the entire world was converting from button mobiles to touch mobiles, but Nokia didn't change, though they were the leaders, and Nokia and BlackBerry. So both these guys are very, very strong leaders like 12 years ago, but they were quite reluctant to change out of their sophisticated system of typing buttons, typing pad. And what happened? So the Apple taken over the world by changing the entire landscape of mobile, and they removed all the buttons with the touchscreen and all. So it used to be just for calling earlier. Now, if you see, you can use it for music, use it for surfing, you use it for communication, you use it for a lot of other stuff we have been using for a single mobile. So when business are not ready for the change, people will change the business. That's what we have seen in terms of digital for transformation challenges and the success stories, benefits. We can clearly see how it has been embraced by users in terms of technology. If the technology is really good, people will just embrace it and it will become a more success.
True, Ashok, right? The couple of use cases, the couple of scenarios you told that, right? The BlackBerry thing and the Nokia thing, we have seen that in that past history, what happened to them, not adopting the innovation. So my next question is, I know that, right? The pandemic has brought new things, a new business norm, new changes, everything is new now. So absolutely. Yeah, so I think audience would like to hear from you, right? What kind of business models do you think you see in future and the post-COVID era, the adoption for the industries, enterprises in the digital transformation space?
Definitely. I mean, in fact, the entire world and lot of industries like travel, hospitality, airlines, there is a huge, huge, huge impact on these industries. They couldn't move out of their profit zone. Earlier, they used to be very successful in terms of their industry and all their offerings and all. People used to travel a lot and they used to buy tickets. And I mean, they used to have a lot of success in terms of attracting the customers and all. But now even they come back with lucrative offers, people are ready to go. People are not ready to do vacation. Ready for vacation, people are not ready to travel. So these are all new normal we are seeing these days. But so the new business are evolving in these days. I mean, they're not very new, they're traditional, but they're the new technologies embraced by these new guys. So we all know that the entire corporate, the travel used to be like 6 to 8% of budget they used to spend on the entire travel. People from all executives, people on the senior role, they used to travel across various regions, domains. They used to spend a lot of expenditure on that. But these days, that has been cut. And it has been spending on the new technology and enabling the people to, I mean, since we are doing this virtual podcast, right? So similarly, it has been happening across all industries. I will take very simple example, the education. So earlier, the traditional education is like we used to go to schools and sit in front of the classes, sit in the classroom and in front of the teacher and listening to them. And how it has been changed, it has dramatically changed. Since last 1 year almost, no student is going to school and attending the physical classes. Everything became virtual. So the becoming virtual and virtual meetings, virtual classes and virtual gatherings, a lot of stuff. Everything is becoming more of virtual rather than being in physical contact or physical touch. So there is a lot of scope for the business which can convert. Even in my connects, I have seen many of the business are trying to make, earlier there was no such thing like virtual meet. in real time, other than the software world or IT world. But these days, it is becoming a norm for even a normal people to connect on the Zoom. And we all know that how Zoom has been successful since last 8 to 10 months. Their stock has been spiked like anything. So this is one of the key area that we will see more of Zoom kind of stuff. And moving forward, we may see VR as well, virtual reality, where people can connect. They may need to feel like they are just in front of the others and all. Virtual reality may emerge in the future, and we'll see a lot of new applications. Right now, we are in a very inception stage. It'll take some time to nurture and get into the market. People are not quite used to it. Augmented reality with 3D. That is another thing that may come into, make it into domestic uses, because right now it is still in a nurturing stage where people are trying to understand how they can make it as more business viable, because still people don't have that very good use cases to convert into a business model. So still they're working on it. In future, in next 5 to 8 years, that I would see that. But apart from that, technological perspective, we have a lot of new technologies that are emerging, like AI, machine learning, and industries are going to embrace IoT, maybe you say that. So these are the new emerging technologies that we may see moving forward.
Fantastic, Ashok, for sharing your thoughts on the business models. And after discussing about the challenges, benefits, and business models, I can see from your initial introduction, you said that, right, you had done a lot of projects on the machine learning, artificial intelligence, and Internet of Things. Can you share some of those to the audience? What are your experiences, especially on the projects and use cases for the benefit of listeners from our Ashok?
Sure, definitely. So I have done more than 6 projects. All of them are research oriented projects. So Microsoft was investing and funding from their pocket to identify the right use case for the market, how to enable the entire industry with the right application. So we were part of that that OSD, open source division of Microsoft, and we were trying to deliver some of the key projects. So I will give you two case studies, and they're very successful case studies, and both of them. So we'll go through these two of them rather than going on. So the first one is security and surveillance. This is an IoT enabled with AI and machine learning project. This is a very interesting project. Even I worked tremendously on this project, and we have seen real benefits, and customers directly reaped the fruits out of this project. So let me tell you what this project is and how it evolved and reaped the value to the customers. So the project is called Security and Surveillance. So basically in US, we all know that we all see a lot of videos and all that burglars coming into the shops and robbing it, and they're putting the knife, guns, and they're escaping with the money and all. So these are quite common things happening in US, especially 7-Eleven and a few other retail stores. It's very common retail stores. So Microsoft asked this division and to come up with a project where this technology can identify before the threat happens, rather than notifying that threat happened. We all know that, we all see that CC cameras, that all these robberies all happens. So we came up with a solution for this. So usually what happens, there are 20 to 30 CC cameras in a store, and no security can watch all the feeds at a time. So here what happens, our feeds, all the security camera feeds are going to be monitored by artificial intelligence. I'll give you a little background of the technology as well. So each and every CC camera is enabled with an edge computing node. So we have used NVIDIA Jetson 500 node on each and every CC camera, especially at the cashier place. and his feed is going to run to the cloud. And cloud is going to capture the entire CC camera feed. And it will be artificial intelligence is going to apply on top of that feed. And when you apply this machine learning object identification, so this this software is quite smart. It understands the video. I mean, it breaks the entire video feed into images, and it'll apply certain algorithms to identify the objects. It can identify up to 9,000 objects, like a child, a person, a pet, a knife, a hammer, any kind of hazardous objects it can identify. So as soon as it identify any kind of knife, hammer, gun, or anything dangerous, a kind of a weapon, it can identify up to 9,000 objects. As soon as it identifies identify any kind of these weapons, immediately it will send a screenshot of that to nearby 911 along with the location of the store. So as soon as they get the notification to the sheriff, who is the police of that area, will immediately act upon it, and they will reach to the store. So before the crime or before the thief escapes, this guy is going to take an action on top of this based on the screenshot. If screenshot is not that much of severity, if it is not a threat, then he will ignore it. If not, immediately they will take an action on top of it. This is what the project is. We provide the solution, and we have successfully implemented in one of the store in United States. And it was a great success. One of the key thing that that we experienced is we thought of using it for security and surveillance, but somehow it turned out to be a different motive itself. The store manager who was handling the entire project was supposed to identify what's happening the whole day and all. But it turned out to be a different project. Like, he was trying to see the entire project, saying that, okay, so a store manager is always curious about how many people walked into their store. So using this technology, our feed always saves whatever the things happened in the database. Let's say that three people walked into the store. So system system captures that, okay, 7 a.m. three people walked into the door, 8 a.m. five people walked into the door. And our AI machine learning modules are so smart that it can identify age as well. It can say that a female with 25 to 30 years of age, a male with 40 years to 60 years age. So it will give that kind of information as well. So the store manager is quite enthusiastic to understand. So they, based on this information, they started doing a lot of analysis. So what are their peak times? And what are the slots that they need to increase their resource? Because it's always like morning 7 to 9, they always have a peak time. People are asking for a lot of coffee and people are coming for breakfast and a lot of, so they need to increase their resources. So we started this project for the motive of doing the survey and surveillance, but the store manager used it for a completely different purpose, and it has been successful like anything. And they were running the reports every day, so we were quite amazed to see that the analytics that what they brought from the system. So that's how sometimes
that's an excellent use case, Ashok, right? That because it one use case led to many use cases, I can see from that, right? Because definitely that's a good ROI to the customer also, to see better benefits.
Exactly. I mean, we were quite happy that it was a research project. We never knew that it's going to be used by customer or not. But we see that it's really a lot of work.
Fantastic
of...
use case. So can you also share the second use case?
Sure. The second use case is we have done, it was, in fact, it was in a requirement rather than a use case. So one of the customer of Microsoft asked their end user to identify, I mean, there are two things. One thing is they wanted to understand, so this is related to medical and healthcare. So one of these pharmaceutical client wanted to understand understand their drugs, how they are affecting in terms of the fleeting system. So the project is basically, so the similarly like vaccines, Pfizer vaccine or any vaccine. One of the client is in Sweden. They wanted to fleet these vaccines from Sweden to New York. This is their project. But sometimes what happens, they need to constantly maintain the temperature of -4 degrees for all these blood samples and vaccines. So even a dip of 2 degrees will damage the vaccine. So they asked us to make a system where they identify if there is any dip in the temperature or anything while during the transit, they need to identify. So they will take those vaccines out so people don't get the damaged vaccines. So this is what the initial project. So we came up with a solution with complete IoT devices. We enabled a GPS device. So that fleet will be in three different transits. One is they starts from the truck, they will move to a ship, then they fleet on a flight. So these are three different systems. So they have already a big system clot of pellets. So all these vaccines are put on a pellet, assembled on a pellet. So as soon as the vaccine is dropped onto one pellet or container, so they attach three different sensors: temperature sensor, humidity sensor, and another sensor. I'm not able to recollect. So they kept these three sensors. So specifically, these are the two, temperature and humidity are important sensors. They need to understand what time and how it is affecting. And they also need to understand what are the different routes that are causing the temperature dip. So the motto of this project is identify the routes and see where exactly the project is called Cool Chain. So where exactly these temperatures are getting down. So moving forward in future, using machine learning models, they need to identify the right route, not to see the damages. So this is also a kind of data will be read from all these different sensors through GPS, through humidity and temperature sensors. And they all kept on a machine learning model. And at the end of these fleets, like more than 100 fleets, you will get a concrete data of what are the best routes that are keeping the vaccine safe. And what are the best routes in which season? And which time, what time is the best time to go which route? So these are will be driven by this artificial intelligence model. So that's what the project.
Yeah, fantastic, Ashok. Right, I think the couple of use cases which you share are very relevant and excellent in today's scenario, and definitely our audience will love it. Right, and then if any questions, Ashok, from the audience who are listening, get back to me. I'll retort to you for any further questions.
Definitely.
From this.
Sure. I'm happy to answer.
Yeah. So coming to my final question, this is related to, I know for all this, we need skills, you know, right? These are all new technologies. Technology is changing very fast. And these emerging tech skills gap and then career explorations. So can you also throw some light or some advice to the new young generation, engineers, freshers, and also to professionals, right? How to take forward to work on this kind of new technologies and new industries?
Sure. So what I envision immediately is, AR and VR are future technologies. Definitely there will be a lot of scope for these technologies. But immediately we can see that machine learning and artificial intelligence, and these are the two areas, and data engineering. So these are the two, three areas where we will see a lot of penetration in the market. There are a lot of opportunity. Even if you go to DICE or go Naukri or anywhere, you will see a lot of requirements with respect to cloud as well. Cloud is one of the booming word across all industries. It became a normal, but these are three industries that are going to have enormous opportunities. Like, as you know, that each and every project, they need a report. Similarly, each and every project will need an AI module as well. So any project, it doesn't matter, AI will be enabled on top of it, regardless of industry, domain, or kind of project, AI is going to enable. So there are a lot of opportunities and future, there are a lot of new projects are going to evolve. So these are the three areas that would see a lot of room for young generation to take it up.
Yes, so what you said is very relevant. And then, like, as you rightly said, right, I think great for any, apart from this, that I'm talking more on the connectedness also very important, like the Internet of Things also is one of the area which the people can look into it as part of their career opportunities or career perspective.
Definitely. So IoT is like a mother of the, because without data, there is no data science.
I totally agree with you, Ashok. Finally, thanks for joining us and sharing your valuable information to the audience and to the listeners also. Ashok is available anytime, anywhere. You can just reach out to him on LinkedIn, on social media, or you can reach out to me for any further information or clarifications. Once again, Ashok, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. To the audience, stay tuned for such more industrial insights and information and advices from various industry experts on digital transformation, Industry 4.0, and emerging technologies.